Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr., and joining me is the force that is Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
Gary, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Doing well.
Kevin's
really giving the applause. Kevin's really happy about Gary Whitta.
I'm not going to talk about the stuff that we talked about before the show because that's private, but Kevin is in an uncharacteristically good mood.
Sometimes it can be happy, you know what I mean?
Like, he's got something. He just got out of the bed on the right side or something. Something's going on with Kevin.
I know that feeling, though.
Like, he's really,
like that
he's
feeling,
hyper.
That feeling when you wake up and you're good to go.
I'm in a lot of physical pain. But
why?
Emotionally,
what'd you do? Did you crack your back again?
I crack my back all the time. You mean, oh, okay. Did I walk?
Or what was going on last time when you were like...
I bumped my foot.
With your foot?
Yeah.
Was really, it not your back?
Well, let me get there.
All right.
Let me get there. Go with me on this journey, okay?
All right.
So I was running really quickly, as I do, in Tim Geddes' spot, right?
Uh-huh.
And I hit a step really, really hard with my foot.
Uh-huh.
Like, incredibly hard, to the point where the bruise was maybe like that big on the ball of my foot.
It's like this big.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which is like, that's a weird place to get a bruise. I didn't know I could get that. I thought the skin was tougher there, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Walking.
What part of your foot is this?
The ball of my foot.
The ball of your foot, okay.
The ball. Walking funny for like 2 weeks. Like, even now, I can still, like, if I put pressure on it, I can still feel where
What does this have to do with you being in a good mood today?
Can I get there?
I just want to get to the point.
This is going to be a fun episode.
There's a lot of news to get to, Kevin.
A great episode. There's actually not that much news, but
great,
we're starting
great.
Off
and we're
fun.
Filling some time. So I started walking funny, right? Putting less pressure on my heel. I mean, on my the ball of my left foot.
Uh-huh.
Kind of leaning to the right, okay?
All right.
Which then caused an intense pain on the right back rib cage side, you know? You
see, all right. Yeah, it's channeling up.
Yeah, yeah. And then I started walking funny because I was trying to fight that pain, which caused some hip pain, okay?
All right.
I haven't fully recovered from all that. Then I went bouldering when I went up to Seattle this weekend with my father-in-law.
Went what?
Bouldering. You
know, bouldering? It's
rock,
what is that?
It's rock climbing, but like on like 15 feet. So you're not going much higher. So you don't need the ropes. You don't need the belays.
Is this on an actual real?
No. We went
on kind of rock climbing.
It was like a facility.
Rock climbing gym.
Right.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. But
that's
like,
awesome.
A man of my weight, bouldering, you could do about for maybe solid 20, 30 minutes. A man of Paula's father's health, he can go for 2 hours. And, like, you got to, if you're hanging out with your father-in-law, you got to push the limits of your body. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to look bad in front
what
of him.
What does that
exactly.
mean?
You don't want to look bad in front of him.
All right.
You got to impress the
So
the
I climbed
in-laws.
For 2.5 hours. My hands, until yesterday, pretty much useless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
What happened
hands.
To your, didn't something happen to your back, though? Recently?
Yeah.
Did that involve your back?
Did I not just explain
I thought that sounded like you were talking about your hip and your other, like the other parts of your body,
and
except for your back.
The back of my rib cage.
The back, okay, the back of your rib cage.
Yeah.
Is the back of your rib cage, okay, I guess, I never really thought about that.
Yeah,
I never really thought
back.
About the back of your rib cage
it's
being
fine.
Your back.
No, I'm, you know.
Gary, today's the 20th anniversary for the PlayStation 2.
Wait, I'm still trying to draw a line between all of this and why Kevin's in a good mood.
How did we get here?
It sounded
Kevin?
Like he was going somewhere with it.
No, because
I think we were talking about getting up on the right side of the bed.
Getting on the right side of the bed, and I'm saying right now I fucking crawled out of the bed in pain.
Oh, yeah, because he was saying he's physically in pain, but like mentally and emotionally he's in the right place.
Pretty solid.
I might have to lay off Kevin today because I feel like I'm already sensing that he's pushing back more than
Kevin
usual.
Kevin has like a chaotic energy today.
Kevin is spoiling
like
for
it.
A fight this morning.
No, I really
I don't know
it.
If I'm up for it. I might have to go easy.
Let's do it together, you know what I mean? See what happens.
We're all on the same side.
So, Gary, today's the 20th anniversary of the PlayStation 2.
Literally today?
Yeah, literally today. I believe, according to Twitter.
Like US launch or something? Or Japanese launch?
You're
is
asking
it?
Way too many questions now. I could
I want the details.
All I know is that PlayStation UK tweeted out, 20 years ago today, the PlayStation 2 was born. They grew up so fast, wipes tears. So that might be like the original launch of the PlayStation 2, maybe in Japan. I don't know if they came out on the same day or different days. But what I want to know from you, Gary, what's your favorite PS2 game? What's the greatest PS2 game, I should say?
Trying to think.
This is going
to
be a whole segment,
too.
This is going to be a... Ooh, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
This is going to be a whole segment.
Oh, you
segment.
Know what? That's actually a good shout, Kevin. I might have to go with that.
Right.
Metal Gear Solid 2?
I played the hell out of Metal Gear Solid 2. I still have really fond memories of that level that was like on the big... it was like a big platform out in the water.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
Remember that level?
The...
I can't remember what that was.
Yeah,
but like,
that's like the whole. That's basically the whole.
And then
game.
I remember the ending. That like 30 minutes.
Dude, that ending.
I'm like,
probably
what the fuck is going on?
One of my favorite endings in a video game is Metal Gear Solid 2. I remember watching it. Or I remember playing it and being like, I can't believe this is real. Because in the game, they're like questioning reality, questioning.
Oh my
like,
god!
Yeah,
and it goes on
are
and
you
on
really
and
playing
on.
A game right now? The is it the colonel or whoever?
Classic
your
Kojima.
Commander is like talking directly to you.
Yeah.
Great, great moment. I actually do want to do a segment.
It might be Metal Gear Solid. 2 for me.
Over
Sons of Liberty,
no, over
right?
Three.
Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
Sons of Liberty.
Yeah.
Is that 2 over 3 for you? Because 3
yeah,
was the
no,
one
yeah,
with
yeah, 2. I really, really liked 2. And I liked Need... I mean, I've talked about this on the show. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2, which is on the PlayStation
yes.
2. It was my favorite racing game of that genre. And there might be some other games, but I was more of an Xbox guy during
really?
That generation. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a PlayStation 2, but I know... Wow. Look, the PlayStation 2 is an iconic, legendary, classic machine, mm-hmm. and obviously one of the most, if not the most successful
yeah.
games console
for me,
ever made.
I would say the PS2 is, for me, the greatest console
of all time. Its place in history is assured. I don't have a ton of nostalgic affiliation
okay.
with it, though. A couple of games. What about you?
I absolutely love the PS2. Like I said,
yeah.
it's like it's my favorite console. Or let me say it's what I believe to be the greatest console. I have like a soft
what
spot.
What made it that? Why is it the greatest console?
The library is just so one, it's vast, and two,
it's so vast.
It's diverse in terms of the different types of games that were super awesome and super successful. Like there are a lot of amazing licensed games on the PS2 that I feel like don't get enough credit, right?
Yeah.
Simpsons Hit and Run, Spider-Man 2.
Hit and Run was actually an underrated
game. Dude, Hit and Run
I enjoyed just recently watching Cool Greg play that on here.
Yeah.
He would come
Why
on in the evening.
Hasn't John Drake brought it back? You know what I mean?
You got to give him some time. He just
back,
started
John
working
Drake.
There.
Go
it
hang
could.
Out.
Like what? A
he
year?
Could
go hang out with Rooster or with what is it? Rocket.
Rocket Robot on Wheels.
No. Hold
Rocket.
On. Rockstar.
Rockstar.
And just fucking make a Grand Theft Auto game that is Simpsons.
You think Rockstar would make a Simpsons game?
I don't think
or
Rockstar
would. Or you
would
want
would
Rockstar
that.
To make a Simpsons game? Because I think who made I'm gonna look this up. Who made Simpsons Hit and Run?
Probably 2K. That sounds right. Let's just not look it up.
I'm guessing. It was published by
Ubisoft. No, that can't be right.
THQ.
It was a good game.
THQ actually sounds right. That's a great poll.
Yeah, but I don't know who developed it. It was developed
yeah.
by Radical Entertainment. It was published by Vivendi.
I think
though.
A Simpsons Hit and Run 2. We were again in classic tradition. We're like way off topic here. We've
yeah,
wandered deep into the woods already. But no, the Simpsons Hit and Run was for what it was, which is just like a reskinned GTA clone. It was good.
Oh, it was awesome, right? And there was also Simpsons Road Rage, which was like the
that wasn't
crazy
as
taxi.
Good.
No, that was
it wasn't
not
as good as Hit and Run, but it was still fun. I really liked Road Rage. I thought that game was really awesome. Now a few weeks ago, or not even a few weeks ago, like a. I guess like 2 months ago, I introduced a segment in this show called Gary Judges You, where we ask people questions and Gary judges their answers. I don't know if you remember this. We only did it once.
I don't remember.
I think we did
much.
It for
Wait,
like
I,
best
sorry,
mascots.
Have we gone to the housekeeping yet?
No.
I want to.
This is still. This is still
I,
beginning
I wanna,
of the show.
I want to talk about the PlayStation 2 for a little bit.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
I want to talk about you and the PlayStation 2.
Okay. What do you know? What do you want to know
so
about
So, like,
the
when
PlayStation
2? You must have been a baby when the PlayStation 2 came out, right? Were you, like, you were still in school, right?
PS2,
I'm guessing.
Well, I was in elementary school, yeah. The
okay.
PS2 came out in, I want to say, 2001, and so I would have been in first grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
My kid's in second grade.
Yeah, that's how old I was when
God,
I
was
when the PS2
old.
Came out.
Okay.
And so it that
did you like save up your allowance to go? Like, how did you get your PlayStation?
My parents bought it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I was still
Christmas
at the age
or something. Or
oh, I can't remember how I got it. I think I got it like a few years late because I was an N64 kid for the longest time.
Okay.
And then I finally got my PS2. And the PS2 for me, like the N64 was like my gateway drug, where that was all I knew. You know, I fell in love with Mario. Fell in love with. Like all the rare games specifically,
right?
And then the PS2 came out, or I got the PS2, and that was basically like my formative years of being a fan of video games. That was like when I first played Shadow of the Colossus and
man.
Metal Gear Solid 3 and like NBA Street Volume 2 and Burnout 3. And these are games that I brought up before, but that's when I started falling like down deep in the well and really started to really like absolutely love video games. And that actually kind of formed like the way I describe it. In like 2000, I'm gonna say like 2005. I have a friend named Addison who, back in the day, used to let me borrow his games because since I was late to the PS2 game, he already had a PS2 for a few years. He knew that, you know, for me as a newbie, he could expose me to a bunch of different games. And so there was like a week where he let me borrow. It was Shadow of Colossus. It was Metal Gear Solid 3. And I borrowed those in like the same week. And I brought those home. And I think
what a week that must have been.
It was. It's probably it's what I describe as probably my greatest week of gaming because. I want to say I played Metal Gear Solid 3 first, and that was my first time really engaging with a narrative like that in a video game, where this was the first time I really cared about the story, cared about the characters, cared about the world, cared about like the villains and like the group of villains in Metal Gear Solid 3. The greatest out of the Metal Gear Solid series, in my opinion. Like, the end, greatest, one of the greatest boss fights of all time.
The pain? Remember the pain?
The pain? Yeah, the pain was awesome. The sorrow, you know, which was, for me, like, a really cool fourth wall-breaking moment. Like, all this stuff really, really vibed with me. And I was like, that was the game that, for me, introduced me to the idea that video games could have amazing, incredible stories. And then Shadow of Colossus, for me, was the game that introduced me to the idea that video games can be art, because I jumped into Shadow of Colossus and I wasn't really expecting like this sort of like minimalist yet grand sort of experience that is, hey, it is a boss rush, it is a boss battle game, maybe not boss rush, but it is a game that is only boss battles. You're going up, you're killing these gigantic beasts that are 50 times the size of you, and they only get bigger and bigger and more interesting as you get further along in the game. And the way that game tackled its story, which was very mysterious, its soundtrack, which was orchestral and beautiful, the visual design of it, the emptiness of the open world, but how that emptiness made it serene, like that really introduced me to what, like a new idea of what video games.
Yeah, I can tell. In some ways, I'm almost kind of envious because I'm so much older. When I was a kid, the games that made an impact on me were like just bits and blobs. Like they were like so primitive, but they still made an impact on me. So like when you were my age back then, you were playing games that were like so much more.
Yeah, it felt like,
you know,
advanced
and sophisticated. Yeah. And I can totally imagine how if you're like a 6 or 7 year old kid playing Shadow of the Colossus for the first time, like that's like like an epiphany kind of moment.
Playing GTA San Andreas for the first time never experiencing a world that big before. That game has
San Andreas is still an amazing game.
And so this is why I wanted to bring up the segment, because PlayStation UK, right? They tweet out about the 20 years of PlayStation, and then they ask what was the greatest PS2 game, and people replied. And so I want to get your thoughts on some of these replies.
Oh yeah, okay. So did they do like a survey or something, or
people just replied to the tweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so I mean Konami UK tweeted back, got to be MGS2, which is
of course they would say that.
But it's still a bad call. It's still assessing that they went 2 over 3. Because I think 3 is for me the superior game.
No, it's 2.
But
2 for me.
I appreciate 2.
I feel like 3 just gets a little bit more complicated, where you have to think more than just go and like.
Remember when you go back and think about these games that made an impact on you when you were younger. Mm-hmm. It's less about what is objectively the better game and more about what is the game that made the impact on you at that time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure. The thing that I'll give for 2 is that I think 2 was very forward looking in a way that I don't think any other video game has been, right? The way in which Metal Gear Solid 2 kind of talks about the idea of memes and the idea that, you know, politics and human like consciousness and or it's mainly politics are going to be determined by memes. They basically say that kind of directly in the game. I remember originally playing.
I mean,
game
it's quite prophetic
like,
when you think about it.
But yeah, it's super prophetic, and the ways in which the whole game is kind of themed around the idea of manipulation and misdirection, and how that then determines like politics and overarching
Kojima,
like, society.
He's out there, but like he's got some good ideas.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And then a lot of people here in the replies are saying San Andreas.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Let's see. There's somebody here that says Jack 3. I don't know if you guys ever played Jack and Daxter.
Yeah. I mean, Jack 3 is fine.
I mean, it's fine. Solid game, no doubt. But yeah. Really? Like, up there with the best of the best?
No.
Quite a few people here are saying Simpsons Hit and Run.
It's not the best, but it's
a good shout out.
I don't mind it.
It might be the best, what is it called?
Best, like, GTA clone?
No, but the ones where it's, like, published and its own.
Licensed?
Licensed, yeah. Yeah. That's it.
For me, the best licensed game on PS2 has got to be, I think I might say, Spider-Man 2. That game was so good. That game was excellent.
I don't remember that one.
Need for Speed Underground 2, people are saying here.
Again, for me, it's Hot Pursuit. Hot Pursuit 2 would be the one for me.
Hot Pursuit 2, I think, was my preferred one, I'll say. And I played some of Most Wanted, and I didn't fall in love with
it. So if you had to do a top 5, you would definitely put San Andreas in there.
Yes, 100%.
You would definitely put Metal Gear Solid in there, too.
Yes. Either of my, I put.
You
put
would
in
definitely
there.
Put. I think you would put Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah. I personally would, like, as like a monument of, like, as you said, like games can be art, and games can really aspire to be something different and amazing.
Yeah.
What else? What do you think? It'd be like an all-time PlayStation 2 top 5.
I would probably put Burnout 3 in there.
Oh, for me personally, that would be hard to say no to.
Yeah.
Again, I played that on Xbox, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then, let me see. I have a doc here where like I keep a list of like my favorite games because I'm a nerd. And so I'm going to pull this up.
Okay.
And look at it. Because NBA Street Volume 2, I'm thinking I might put in there.
Oh! Oh, my God!
Yeah.
NBA Street Volume 2.
Yeah.
DJ Cucumber Slice.
Yeah, Bobby Edo Garcia.
The best. The best.
You know what?
That might fuck it. That might actually be my number one.
Number one?
Time. Again, I did have that on PlayStation 2.
Okay.
That's what I played it on. And I played the shit out of that game. Sorry, and it has...
NBA Street Volume 2.
It has the best soundtrack.
Yeah,
they reminisce over you.
Yeah,
oh
dude,
my god,
what
so
a great
fucking
soundtrack.
Good.
The gameplay of that game, we had
the
a
second that game boots up, you're like, I'm fucking this, in.
Yeah,
I'm into this world.
It brings you into it so smoothly. And we had a podcast recently for Gamescast about the best or our personal 10 out of 10 games. And yeah, NBA Street Volume 2 is in there for me.
Oh
for sure.
My god, that might be it for
and
me.
Then
that might be my personal number one.
This is somewhat of an obscure one, but I feel like fans of this might agree. Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3. Is in there for me. It's a Dragon Ball Z game. And then also Star Wars Battlefront 2 is in there for me. And I've already exceeded five.
Dude, Battlefront 2 with the modem was amazing.
Yeah.
So
wouldn't there be a Tony Hawk game in here somewhere?
Oh yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 would probably be. Now we're talking about top 10.
I mean, not my cup of tea. I'm just thinking about games
yeah,
that
Yeah, Tony
big
Hawk
deal
Pro
on
Skater 3
2.
Widely regarded would be in there. Tony Hawk's Underground 2 would be my choice. But yeah, we should probably stop there because we're deep
There's
in the show.
There's probably no game that I would be more excited about. If they said we're going to do a full-on next-gen remaster, you can wave a magic wand and they'll remaster anything.
Mm-hmm.
NBA Street Volume 2.
I agree. I would absolutely love
But with
love
the
that.
Same music and with DJ Cucumbers, yeah. All of that. I want
it
all back.
That's our one chance to have the Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yeah, but I'm taking NBA Street Volume 2 over
I'll probably
that.
Do that too. Today's stories include a new Star Wars game.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to throw one more.
All right,
as well.
One more.
This one's well known for me. Mm-hmm. SSX 3.
Oh, okay. Wait, 3
some
over tricky?
Some people would say tricky.
I would also say 3.
Again, for me personally,
it's
about the one
3.
That made the impact on you at the time. And for me, it was SSX 3.
It was also 3 for
I know
me.
A lot of
great.
People prefer tricky. That's fair enough.
But yeah, today's stories include a new Star Wars game, a new Stadia studio, and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Gary, you said you wanted to promote a stream that you're doing.
Oh, so a couple of things real quick. Weight update 228.8. So I'm down over half a pound from last week, halfway to, I lost 24 pounds.
Congratulations.
Since January 1st.
That's awesome.
So I'm very excited about that. I'm halfway towards where I want to be. I'm going to keep going. And then tonight, I typically stream Wednesday nights. I usually go live at 7 p.m. Pacific. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. My kid, my daughter, she loves to play House Flipper.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She loves House Flipper.
Okay.
You tried House Flipper?
I've seen it. I've not tried
it's
it
a lot
because
of
I didn't
fun.
Know how like advanced or how like nerdy that game is.
Well, the good news, it just came out on consoles.
Yes, on PS4.
And so and Xbox One as well. Mm-hmm. And so I got it. My kid's loving it. She's flipping houses. She's redecorating. And so tonight, we're actually going to stream together. She's going to play House
Flipper.
Is it
a pretty like kid-friendly game how accessible it is?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I mean, she's totally remodeling houses. And
that's
like,
awesome.
The interface is very easy. It's, you know, some things can be a little bit fiddly, but she's totally got it down.
That's really cool.
And she flipped her first house earlier this week. So we're going to play me and the kid are going to play House Flipper tonight on stream, 5:30 p.m. Pacific.
Awesome.
Twitch.tv/GaryWitta.
Twitch.tv/GaryWitta. We're hosting and producing a debut stream for the game Core. This is something new. On Thursday, March 19th at 3 p.m. PT, you can tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to see the devs from Manicore Games join Greg as they build multiplayer games live in Core and invite you to play. Think dreams if it was used to make Capture the Flag games and death matches in seconds. You can follow at Core Games on Twitter for details and catch their write-up on The Verge right now. And this is something that I'm learning about as I'm reading it here, and that sounds awesome. So tune into that. That's March 19th at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad, Drew Gardner, Blackjack, and the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC clan. Today we're brought to you by kindoffunny.com/patreon, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with a banger. A new Star Wars game is leaked. This comes from Joe Screbbles over at IGN. Star Wars Project Maverick has seemingly leaked on the European PlayStation Network, and it appears to be an unannounced game. Posted by Twitter bot PSN Releases and posted on Reset Era by user Soul Zonic, it appears a listing was created for the game on the European PSN backend with a logo attached right here. And Kevin, you can pull up the logo for Project Maverick Star Wars. Or just not bring it up. No, you're fine. While that listing won't appear on the public store, its details can still be scraped by services like this bot, the PSN listings bot. These hidden listings have also recently outed the likes of Resident Evil 3 ahead of their official announcement. We've never heard of Project Maverick before, and it appears this is an early listing for a completely unannounced project. The presence of a tiny group of X-Wings flying towards a Star Destroyer in the logo image has led some to speculate that this is a dogfighting game in the vein of the classic X-Wing or Rogue Squadron series. Last month, we heard that EA had canceled a Star Wars game codenamed Viking in 2019, but that a smaller, more unusual project was still in the works at EA Motive in Montreal. It's possible that this is Project Maverick. Gary, do you have any thoughts on a new Star Wars, I guess, X-Wing flying dogfighting game?
I mean, first of all, it's impossible to keep secrets anymore, isn't it, with these bots and everything that's going on. I'm guessing if images are uploaded to a place where a bot could scrape it and find it, that means that this announcement was not far away anyway. Like, why put it online if you're not prepping to announce something? So maybe this is something we would see at E3 or something soon.
I think, even sooner. Like, maybe I wouldn't be surprised if we see it in a few weeks. Because I want to say the RE3 stuff was very close. When RE3 leaked, the leak to the announcement was, I think, a few weeks, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, if you want to give me more accurate info on that. I think this is 100% happening.
I mean, look, there's not much you can infer from that image other than, I'll tell you what I would like to see. I would like to see a full-blown Star Wars space combat game.
Yeah, I think you can infer that much. For me being called Project Maverick,
my all-time favorite Star Wars, I mean, I've got a few, but like way up there, competing for that number one spot would be the X-Wing TIE Fighter games from back in the day, from long before you were born, blessing. Mm. But I used to love those games. And I know that they made space combat an element of Battlefront 2, and there's been like DLC and Battle of Scarif and stuff like that. But like, I want the full-on X-Wing TIE Fighter.
What would you want from a game like this in 2020?
Full story campaign, squadron management. I want to fly all the different rebel ships. So I want to be able to fly for the Imperial side. I want to do whatever I want to do. I want a rebel story campaign, an Imperial story campaign, and I want full on multiplayer. Mm-hmm. I really want to get involved in some big like 100 player dogfights.
Oh,
and
like
things
dogfight
like that.
Battle Royale.
Oh my god, that would be so great.
That would be really cool.
Not necessarily battle royale, but like big 50v50. Fleet level engagements. Yeah. Like, I would love to see that.
A battle royale, and I know that like that term is connected, but like it doesn't have to be a giant map or anything, but like the idea of like, hey, you guys just light speed into this area where the destroyer is let out 100 or 50 of the bad guys, there's 50 of the good guys, and it is just a full-on giant dogfight.
Yeah, like, I mean, aerial combat is a genre that we haven't, as far as I know, haven't yet seen a battle royale. These days we're trying to plug battle royale into everything. We managed to plug it into Tetris, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind that, but I'd be more interested in a full-on, twin story campaigns for each side. Big capital ships. I want to take down a Star Destroyer. I want to do all the stuff that Larry Holland and those guys back in the LucasArts days did for us back in the 90s. I want that back with modern technology, Series X, PS5, full-blown, let's fucking go. This is a real reach, but Project Maverick could suggest air combat.
Oh, I think 100%, 100%
so? I mean,
does.
That's what it's associated, right?
Yeah, like Maverick.
Ace and Maverick.
I'm going to look up the word Maverick, but I always associate the word Maverick with,
I mean,
like,
it's also wild card.
I'm just thinking of the Top Gun connection.
Yeah, me too.
And like the imagery behind Maverick is a big ship.
One thing, Gary, let's be careful when we talk about Tetris 99, all right?
About what?
Game. Tetris 99. It's a great game.
I'm saying that the battle royale concept is a great concept in that you can plug it into almost any kind of game. Like it led to, you know, we thought Tetris. We were at a point with Tetris. We're like, yeah, like Tetris is brilliant. It's an all-time classic. One of the best games ever made. But like, there's nothing left. There's nothing left to do with it. But then Tetris 99 completely reinvented it.
Yeah.
And made it fresh again.
God.
I'm just saying that.
So bad.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, it doesn't really, I mean, I could see it as like an add-on mode. You know, Battle Royale doesn't seem like it fits space combat or air combat, but I could see how it would be fun as like an extra game mode.
I could see how that'd be cool.
For so long, movies, like, they've put so much money into making these giant dogfighting scenes.
Yeah.
Like, famous movie, you know, Howard Hughes' epic that he made had a giant dogfight, like, Those have always been like scenes that we've seen.
Yeah,
it'd be so cool to actually be a pilot there and trying to navigate while destroying your enemy and not crashing into other ships. That just seems like such an interesting
it would be great. And the Last Man Standing Battle Royale car, I can see that working just for fun. But like, what I would want to do is like a big fleet engagement, like say 50 rebel ships versus 50 imperial ships, and the first one to wipe out the other side wins.
Yes, sorry, that is what I was talking about.
Right, okay.
I said battle royale just to, because in my mind that's more associated with having giant chunks of groups.
Right.
But it would be more like the limited events that they had where it was 50v50 in Fortnite.
That would be, I would love that.
Exactly.
That makes total sense to me.
I think
Bring it on.
So amazing.
Yeah.
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 So I believe this.
I would actually bust out my my old flight stick and my old throttle for my PC. I would get the PC version.
That'd be awesome.
I would play with the full on flight stick.
I'd be really into that.
All of that shit.
There's a PlayStation Thrustmaster one that for PlayStation that I really
want
to get.
Well, even if I was playing on console, I would still want those controls.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I love it. Let's hope that's what this is.
Y'all straight
it's up. You know, now that we've got all excited, this is not what it's going to be.
No, I think it is. I don't know if it's going to have like the actual control and it's going to be sold with a flight stick. But I think 100% it's going to.
You think space combat's coming back?
At the very least, it's a dogfighting space game. You see the X-Wings right there, like small X-Wings flying towards.
Yeah,
like,
but that could mean any. I mean, and it's called suggestive, Maverick. But yeah, and the Maverick thing. All signs point to yes, yeah. But
and I believe,
I'm not going to look. How many times has the Star Wars games disappointed? Look, I mean. Are we just waiting for this thing to get fucking canceled like all the others? I mean, who knows?
Also, this one, and well, this comes from.
They won't let me. I won't let them get my hopes up.
This was originally alluded to by Jason Schreier in his article where he's talking about how, you know, we've had the recent string of Star Wars games canceled, right? Starting with Project 1313, but you know, we then got Amy Hennig's Star Wars game canceled, and then
there's a whole slew of them just recently, right?
Yeah, and Jason Schreier reported on Project Viking being canceled, but then he alluded to a smaller, more unusual project in his article about
that's what worries me. More unusual, that doesn't strike me as fitting what we were just talking about, because I don't want smaller. I want like a full AAA epic campaign, full multiplayer. So I want a full blown game.
Unusual,
like a space combat game wouldn't be that unusual. It's been done in Star Wars.
But I feel like compared to what you would imagine Amy Hennig's Star Wars game to be, I feel like in that context, I could see it being referred to as smaller and unusual. Jason Schreier on Twitter responded to a tweet that tagged him in this, and they were like, is this the EA game you were referring to in your article? And responded, yes, right? And so I feel like that's definitely confirmation that, like, this gives me hope that it's actually going to come out, especially with it being uploaded to the PSN backend, right? I feel like that signifies progress being done on it.
You know what would be a great model for this that would fit Star Wars great is like the Wing Commander model. Remember the Wing Commander games? Everyone is so fucking young. The Wing Commander games were space combat games, but they also had like fully fleshed out like cinematic cutscenes and stories. So I could see a thing where like you're hanging out in, you know, the squadron quarters with your other, you know, those other characters, and you're going, you know, and you're going through like a cinematic story and making choices and walking around, you know, inside the capital ship and going into the hangar and doing, you know, and getting into, you know, story situations with other characters. Mm-hmm. But then you go fly the missions, and then, you know, you've got full blown space combat.
Yeah. And then I want to say, Jason Schreier said that the smaller unusual game is being done by EA Motive, which this being the case, then yeah, this would have been done by EA Motive, or is being worked on by EA Motive, and EA Motive known for working on Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Smaller and more unusual doesn't
worked on what?
Star Wars Battlefront 2. With DICE and
the space combat there was cool, right?
Yeah.
People really like the ship to ship dogfights, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I want to say, I don't know how much EA Motive had to do with the space combat specifically,
nobody knows.
But, you know, if that's the case, then I think that also lends more credence to the space combat game.
I just know already, like, we've got ourselves all worked up into a lather about what we think this is going to be, and it's not going to be it.
I think everything points to that this is it.
Smaller and more unusual doesn't fit what I want this to be.
It does if it's just the battles. There's no story.
But I want story.
I know. Mm-hmm. But let's wait.
And EA's learned that lesson after the first Battlefront.
Yeah, but I could also see the story being some really half-ass shit.
I think in terms of scale, yes, it will not be the big...
They should call me. I'll write a fucking story for them.
They should. Two, in terms of scale, this won't be like the big, huge Star Wars game I think we're asking for, but I do think 100% it's a dogfighting game. To what level that is, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm already starting to pull back my expectations. I went out on a limb. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be this thing. It's going to be X-Wing, TIE Fighter, Wing Commander. It's not going to be that. Yeah. I can't have my heart broken again.
Number two. Google Stadia announces a new second studio. This comes from a blog post written by Jade Raymond, the VP and head of Stadia Games and Entertainment. It reads, Stadia Games and Entertainment is setting out to change the way we play, enjoy, and create video games. With Stadia, the creative possibilities are limitless. But
this is from Stadia.
But we can't build those experiences without a talented team of game designers, artists, and storytellers. We started that journey with the opening of Stadia's first original game studio in Montreal late last year. Today, we're adding a new Stadia Games and Entertainment studio in Playa Vista, California, which will be led by an industry veteran, Shannon Studstill. The new Playa Vista studio will focus on delivering exclusive games using new mechanics, creative ways to play together, and unique interaction models that we're just starting to explore. While we're not ready to share specific game plans yet, rest assured we are listening to what gamers want and adding our own Stadia twist to create new IP and experiences. I've been a fan of Shannon's for a long time and have admired her award-winning work leading Sony Santa Monica Studio and the industry-defining franchises like God of War that have won fans all over the world. She has an extensive background in product development and creative leadership, but most importantly, she's a visionary who, as the studio director, will lead and inspire Playa Vista teams. We're thrilled to welcome her to the Stadia family. Stadia is designed to be the one destination for all the ways we play. It's key to bring on talent that... It's key to bring on talent that not only has success in delivering the industry's best content, but also has creative ideas around how to embrace this new and unique way to create. Building a world-class studio piece by piece is a unique opportunity that you don't often get in the game industry, and we want to do it with you. Gary, does this give you any more faith and hope in Google Stadia? New studio.
I mean, kind of, but not really. I mean, that was a lot of PR puffery. You know, there's no substance there. I get it. But it's encouraging to see that Google is continuing to invest in Stadia. I the one thing that I don't agree with a lot of people are saying, and there's a lot of negative stuff out there about Stadia right now, rightly so. They fucked up. The launch was a disaster, and right now they're in a position where they are having to dig themselves out of a very, very deep hole to get back into gamers' good graces and build something that people give a shit about. Right now they don't have something that people give a shit about. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that they can get there if they continue to invest. Lots of products have had bad launches and then gone on to find success because the company, you know, continued to invest and have faith in the thing that they wanted to build. What I don't believe is, and I understand the reason why people say this is, oh, Google's just going to pull the plug on this, just like they pull the plug on hundreds of things. You know, they pull the plug on so many different projects. This is way bigger than just some like document reader or whatever, you know, social network experiment or whatever that Google's done. Yeah, Google has tried. One of the things I like about Google, they try lots of things, and you know, they throw a lot of shit at the wall, and a lot of it's not going to stick. But some of the stuff that does stick ends up being really cool. I think Google has made a major, major investment in Stadia, and I don't think they are going to just cut and run if they don't make money in the short term. I think this is a big investment for them. I think they're going to stick around, and I think the fact they're opening another studio is very encouraging.
I think it's a signifier that they're at the very least invested in Stadia, and at the very least they're trying to make it work. My fear is that they don't know how to make it work because Google is not a video games company, and they're competing against companies.
But they have,
that are
I mean, they have
companies.
People like Jade Raymond who do know what they're doing. I mean, you know, and they have smart people there. But again, at the end of the day, this is all just blah blah blah.
Yeah,
like show me something.
And that's my thing is that I think this is more so to give people faith that they are still pushing on, but I feel like it doesn't really translate in a way that is going to get people on their side until they start showing us what they're working on.
I mean, in order to you know, as they're trying to position themselves as another platform, like they're going forward, they want you to think that the platforms going forward are PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, and Stadia, right? They want to be thought of in that context, like a major platform. One of the things that you have to have as a major platform is first party exclusives.
Yes.
And they don't really have that yet. They need, where's their Halo? Where's their, you know, Uncharted? Where's their Mario? They need those games that you can, it's like, oh shit, like they need to get to a point where people are like, oh fuck, like, I guess I do have to get Stadia now. Can't miss out on that game. And hopefully maybe that's what these new studios are designed to do. But like, it feels like we're a long way away from
that. Yeah, that's the thing is, how many of those games do you also need at this point? Because yeah, Xbox launched originally with Halo, and that's like a spark right there, right? Halo being that game that you launch your console with, like that doesn't happen often. That was something special. Whereas here we have Stadia with now their second studio. Are two first-party exclusives going to be enough to compete today against people like Xbox, against PlayStation, against Nintendo?
By themselves, no, but it needs to be part of a bigger portfolio and a bigger strategy to keep bringing third-party developers into the fold, to grow the library, to add exclusive titles that you can't get anywhere else. Like, when you talk about Xbox and PlayStation, when most people say, oh, well, I like one over the other, they say, well, because I want the only PlayStation has these exclusive titles or whatever. Stadia right now doesn't have that very critical component.
Yeah, there's nothing I really associate with Stadia video games wise.
No.
Right? Like the only game I really even think of is the game Jilt. I don't know how it's pronounced, and I don't even know how that game looks in my head. I just know the logo.
It's not good enough.
Yeah, it's not good enough. I'm glad that it seems like they are invested in continuing this.
I wish they'd have waited. I wish they had launched with a better... I wish that they had made their Halo. Not obviously like a Halo clone, but like something that could be said, like, this is our Halo. Like, this is our flagship launch title that, like, even if it's just for this one game, you're going to want to get on Stadia because you can't miss this. Like, that's what Halo was for the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have that. And looking back on it, it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
I still think they can get there. And they need to get to a point where we look back on Stadia the way we look back on the Xbox One launch. Where people go, oh yeah, that launch was a real fucking mess, but like they pulled it out in the end. Or No Man's Sky. Or you know, there's any number of examples of games at launch they were like, oh, you fucked up, but they redeemed themselves. I want Stadia to have a redemption story. But that's the thing. It's already a redemption story because it's a mess.
Yeah. We'll see. Number three, Valve wants there to be more Half-Life after Half-Life Alyx. This comes from Alessandro Barbosa of GameSpot. With Half-Life Alyx launching later this month, developer Valve is opening the doors to a franchise it has left dormant for years. But even though this is the latest entry in a prequel to a story we already know, it seems Valve wants to continue exploring its world further in the future. In an interview with Game Informer, Valve developer Robin Walker explained that Alyx has reintroduced the franchise to developers at Valve, who hope that it won't be the last game in the series they work on. Quote, there are also people on the team for whom Half-Life Alyx is their first time working on the series at all, and many of them certainly hope it's not the last, Walker stated. We absolutely see Half-Life Alyx as our return to this world, not the end of it. Walker was also asked about whether or not Alyx will answer some lingering questions left by Half-Life Episode 2. Although he doesn't provide a definitive answer, he does suggest that, quote, it's not a bad idea for players to have refreshed themselves on the event of Episode 2 before starting Half-Life Alyx. Now, Gary, you're a big Half-Life person, correct? You love Half-Life.
Very big.
How does this sit with you, the idea that they want to continue forward with Half-Life after Half-Life Alyx?
I'm super excited about Half-Life. Again, this is one of those things that's kind of illustrated how old I am. When a lot of people are like, Half-Life, what the fuck is that? It's like, really? You don't remember Half-Life?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the all-time greatest games, but you have to be old enough to remember it.
Yeah.
As I certainly am. I'm excited about Alex by itself.
Did you see the gameplay that dropped this week? Did you watch it?
No, because I'm on Blackout. Okay. Like, I want to go in as fresh as I watched the launch trailer, but I don't want to watch anything else. I want to experience it fresh. Like, I'm not playing the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo either, because I want to go in fresh when the game comes
out. That makes
sense. And so I'm very excited about the game in and of itself, but I'm also really excited. I'm hoping that Alex is a big hit, as I think it will be, because I want that to open the door to more Half-Life. I desperately want Episode 3 or Half-Life 3 or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I really, really want that.
Sounds around.
And I really, really hope that this leads to that. In the short term, right now, I'm just trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to play it, because I don't have an index. And I don't think I'm going to be able to scam one or buy one between now and then. But I have a Generation 1 Rift sitting around that I could redeploy. I have my Quest.
That might work.
I wonder if I can Rift link my Quest to the PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't be able to play it with the knuckles and all the really cool hand stuff. Yeah. But like, it might be good enough.
Yeah.
I would love to play like the all bells and whistles index version of it. But like, I don't think even if I was willing to drop a grand on an index right now, I don't think you can even get one.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if... Kevin, do we have an index in the office?
No.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought
if you guys can't get one, what fucking chance do I have? I did get those Butterfingers. Did you get the Butterfingers?
No, I haven't got... Well,
I got the...
They should be on their way.
Are they on their way?
Yeah, I think they're on their way for both me and Greg.
Okay.
So we'll see.
It's a nice little care package.
Yeah?
Do you like Butterfingers?
They're cool. They're not like my favorite chocolate bar by any means.
You know what I really like? I like the bars, but you know what I really like is the peanut butter cups that they brought out.
Oh.
They're really good.
Wait, there are Butterfinger peanut butter cups?
Yes, and they're square.
I've not heard of these.
They're square.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That might be the thing that converts me. Because Butterfinger for me is like B tier, C tier maybe, in terms of like chocolate bars.
Okay.
Like Butterfinger, like if they're there, I'll eat them for sure. And I'm like, I'm not going to complain that there's Butterfingers. But it's not like the first thing I'm buying at the store. I'm going to Twix first.
Oh, easily. I mean, there's no question.
Like, I'm going to Twix first. I'm going to Reese's.
Twix is the god emperor of chocolate.
Andy, I don't think Andy Cortez believes that. Was it Andy that we had this conversation with Kevin?
Idiot.
The only thing that I would put on the same level of like S tier alongside a Twix is a Kit Kat. And I'm still going Twix.
Yeah, I feel like Kit Kat is like a tier below Twix for me.
What's S tier for you, Kevin? He's what I wake up. Hold on.
Yeah.
No,
he's in pain right now.
I was awake.
It's like waking up your PC. Like, it takes a few seconds for it to come back.
Were you literally sleeping?
No.
He was. He was asleep.
You were lying
it's all right
back there.
It's okay. We got it.
I mean, like, Twix bar is, I think it's on its own level. And then underneath that, you got a good Snickers bar, you know?
You don't think there's anything you would put on the same level as a Twix?
Snickers, I was at B
tier. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to sit here and be like, yeah, Almond Joy. It's a little less. Almond Joys are great. I'm all about Almond Joys.
What about Reese's
Cups? Almond Joy?
But I'm saying it's less. It's on a lower level.
Lower level.
No, I wouldn't say much.
All right, so let me ask you. Okay, so Twix. I think we can all agree Twix stands alone
number
at
one.
The top.
Does it
but
stand alone?
What's on the next level below?
Because my thing is, I feel like on the same level as Twix is Reese's.
No.
The pieces?
Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, no.
No? Really?
That's a B level for me.
What? Yeah. Reese's peanut butter cups is B level?
It's too much peanut butter.
There's no such thing as too
I don't
much
like
peanut
them.
Butter.
Huh?
I'm upset.
I would go Twix alone at the top.
Yeah.
Below that, I would put Kit Kat.
For sure.
But it's a classic.
I would put Almond Joy in there too. I love Almond Joy.
Mm-mm.
I'm all about it.
Mm-mm.
I'll eat that all day.
Gary, let me ask you this, because this is a conversation that me and Imran were having yesterday on the show. Half-Life 3, right?
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. They announced Half-Life 3, and they're, what do you have to say about Snickers, Kevin?
Snickers? Payday?
No.
No,
no, not at all.
To me, Snickers is too dense. I would rather eat a Milky Way or a Three Musketeers.
I never in my life have ever been like, Three Musketeers. It's
always
been the candy bar that is like, fuck, I guess
Three Musketeers or a Milky Way is a good option when you want a snack, but you don't want to feel like you've gone overboard.
Now, here's the thing. I always strive to feel overboard. So.
But you don't really like that feeling when you're like,
I don't
too
like
much.
It, but that's the only way I know when to stop.
Gary Whitta, Half-Life 3. They announced, if they announced it, let's say Valve comes out after Half-Life Alyx, and they're like, hey, Half-Life 3 is coming out 2022.
Yeah.
What does Half-Life 3 need to do to live up to your expectations? Because me and Imran are having this conversation because Half-Life is associated with being groundbreaking. And my argument is, I don't know the last time we got a groundbreaking first-person shooter that, like... Like, within the last generation, I don't think there's really been a groundbreaking first-person shooter.
I mean, that's...
Like, when was the last time we got a 10 out of 10 first-person shooter?
That's the reason why Half-Life is the Twix of video games.
Mm-hmm.
Because it stands alone.
Full circle, right there.
Like Doom Eternal's coming out later this month, right? I'm excited about Doom Eternal. That's gonna be a really, really top level great shooter. But it's not. But no one's expecting it to change the game or like reinvent what you expect out of a shooter. Half-Life and Half-Life 2 did that. They fucking changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alex might do that because it's VR and it's gonna do stuff we've never seen before. And I have no idea how you would do this, but to answer your question, what would Half-Life need to do to meet my expectations? Do what the previous Half-Life games did.
Is that
reinvent
possible,
the genre, change the game.
Do you think that's possible?
Why not? Battle Royale changed the game.
Yeah, but
I feel like, in a multiplayer context.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like there's more room to do that in that multiplayer context than in a single-player context. Like, single-player, first-person shooter, how do you really do that? For me, the last first-person shooter I played that I would say is closest to a 10 out of 10 first-person shooter is probably Doom 2016. And Doom 2016, like, the context we're having, or the conversation we're having yesterday was 10 out of 10 first-person shooters. What was the last 10 out of 10 first-person shooter? And we couldn't really think of one.
Right.
Right?
It's a good question. I mean, as good as Doom 2016 was, it didn't redefine what you thought was possible in a shooter.
Yeah.
Right? It was just a really excellent example of what a shooter is.
Yeah, it was polished, like, had 10 out of 10 polish, you know, 10 out of 10, like gameplay flow, all this stuff.
Yeah.
But it came out in, what, got like 8s and 9s?
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you have to do to be a 10 out of 10 first?
Yeah,
and
like, I'll play Doom Eternal when it comes out, but I'm not expecting it to blow me away.
Yeah.
Whereas I remember when Half-Life first came into the PC Gamer office in 1998, there were people crowded around my computer at my desk who they were like, what? They could not fucking believe what they were seeing. And that happened again with Half-Life 2. So maybe that's the reason why it's taken so long for Valve to come up with another Half-Life, because they know that the expectation, like, in order for Half-Life 3 to live up to the expectations of its predecessors, mm-hmm. it would have to do that. And that's not an easy thing to do, reinvent a genre.
Yeah. I think it's a thing you don't even try and do. I think you just come out and make a very, very excellent first-person shooter and call it a day.
See, to me, I feel like Valve would set a higher bar for themselves than that.
But I feel like there's not
if
much
Half-Life
you can do.
3 can't be just another shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. It has to take its place in history the way that the previous games did.
Mm-hmm. Chris RVA writes in and says, good morning. My question is for Gary. As kind of funny as resident Freemanite, or friend of Freeman, and with Half-Life Alyx less than 20 days away, what is your hype level? Yesterday, Blessing and Imran had a discussion on what Half-Life needs to do to have a runaway hit in both VR and a potential Half-Life 3. What is your take on the same question? Personally, I can't wait. Just having another story in one of the best FPS universes in gaming history has me excited. I haven't had a great story-driven true FPS in years. I downloaded Doom from Game Pass and got bored in less than 30 minutes. Its lack of story and fun gameplay mechanics made me long for the heydays. First of all, you're wrong. I forget your name. Let me scroll up. Chris RVA, you're wrong. I'm going to stop you here. Doom had excellent gameplay mechanics, but I'll continue. Is that a story and fun gameplay mechanics maybe long for the heydays of the story-driven FPS like Half-Life in the first Red Faction, which was an excellent game? Half-Life Alyx cannot come sooner. So what's your take on this question, right? And this is kind of what we've been talking about already. But do you have any ideas on what Half-Life 3 could be? Or is it just like, hey, you got to blow me away with something
I want it to continue the story. You have to remember, again, many people don't remember Half-Life 2... Episode 2 ended on a massive fucking cliffhanger. It's like imagine they did Star Trek Next Generation, The Best of Both Worlds, part one, that ends with fucking Picard turned into Locutus of Borg, and Riker saying, "Mr. Worf, fire." Like, and then they just never made the next one. Like, you'd be, what the fuck?
Mm.
Well, that's what the Valve did to us with Half-Life. And so I want to be Gordon Freeman again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back into that world. And again, and I think Alyx, I really think that it's going to scratch that itch. And I think that its success is going to be somewhat capped by the hardware limitations in terms of like what the install 100%. Base is of the hardware. But I also think it has a really good shot more than anything else of being the first true, genuine VR AAA blockbuster.
Yeah,
if anyone can do it, it's Valve.
That's where I'm at. When I saw the gameplay that came out a couple days ago, I looked at it and I was like, this seems special. Like, this seems like it's going to be the best VR game that we've seen yet.
No, I mean...
But even with that, like, even Imran was saying that it kind of underwhelmed him, because what we expect from Half-Life is something that is, like, new and groundbreaking.
But VR can be that thing.
Yeah. But is being the best VR game, and this is a weird question, and to a certain extent it might not even matter, but is being the best VR game to come out yet new and groundbreaking? Or do you have to really be the Mario 64?
It has to not only be the game, the first game that like truly, truly kind of fulfills the promise of VR at the AAA level, but also just beyond that, just say this is a phenomenal game, like whether you consider the platform, the VR, all that, like this is a true successor to Half-Life that can stand alongside the others. It needs to be that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a good chance it will be. Fuck, I need to get an index.
Dude.
I'm gonna make some calls when I get home.
I'm shocked you haven't figured this problem out.
They've been selling out is the difficult
That's
thing.
That's the problem, is I would just buy one.
You're not a normal person.
You're Gary Whitta.
I'm not.
Gary's,
I mean, you
fucking Whitta.
Do you know how many Butterfinger bars I have at my house right now? I'm a very influential person, Kevin.
I know that. The companies know it. You flex those muscles.
Number four, Epic cancels
He's
Unreal
right.
Fest Europe.
I like the
Europe.
Pep talk that Kevin's giving me right here.
Thank you,
He's
Kevin.
He's got me all jacked up.
Epic cancels Unreal Fest Europe. This comes from James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Unreal Fest Europe is the latest addition to the growing list of events that have been canceled over concerns surrounding the spread of novel coronavirus, otherwise known as COVID-19. The developer conference was due to take place in Prague from April 29th to May 1st. But an update to the event's website confirms this will no longer happen. Quote, Due to uncertainty around health concerns and travel, we've made the difficult decision to cancel this year's event, the company wrote. Epic Games is working with the speakers to deliver some of their presentations through other events or via virtual platforms, with more information to be announced in the coming weeks. The company has confirmed it is still planning Unreal Fest Europe 2021. Anakin JMT writes in and says, Happy Widow Wednesday. Since this is kind of funny coronavirus daily now, I have a question I have yet to see asked anywhere. Could the manufacturing issues that all sorts of industries are having impact the console launches? Imran yesterday mentioned a game that can't be announced because the collector's edition may not be able to be manufactured. Could this be a contributing factor to why Sony hasn't announced a PS5 reveal event, in that they are unsure if they'll even have enough consoles to satisfy demand in the fall? I see this potentially resulting in one of two ways. One, the console launches are pushed back to early 2021 to allow Sony and Microsoft to build up a supply of consoles that they just wouldn't be able to meet in the fall. Or two, console launches go ahead as planned, but causing console shortages that haven't been seen since the launch of the Wii.
Wait, is this guy saying he hasn't seen the question asked, could the manufacturing issues, could coronavirus affect the console launches? I feel like that's all we fucking talked about for the last several weeks.
I feel like we haven't talked about it much on this show. I feel like on this show we've been specifically...
I certainly have.
I feel like we've talked about E3 mainly, and mainly we've been talking about events. I think we did bring up the question of consoles being manufactured, but that was at the very start.
Anakin James,
situation.
You need to tune into Widow Wednesday more often, because I vividly remember sitting here with Greg right next to me talking about this stuff, and specifically saying, like, coronavirus is a big fucking deal and people are going to die, and like, I know this is a Games Daily show, but like, whether or not your fucking console is going to come out before Christmas is maybe not the most important thing we should be talking about right now. It will or it won't. Honestly, I don't care. If we have to wait a few more months for the consoles to come out,
if you
that's
had to
fine.
Guess, though,
just get on. Continue to live your life.
If you had to guess, though, do you think it will or it won't?
No.
No? Like, the consoles won't be pushed?
No, I think the console.
Year.
No, or I mean, they haven't even announced dates yet. So, like, what are we talking
about?
Well,
Microsoft
pushing?
Has said holiday 2020, and I believe PlayStation's also said holiday.
Yeah, I mean, they always come out around that time because you want to be there in the gift giving season. That makes sense. If they have to push them, they push them. It's not the end of the world. There's bigger things in the world to worry about.
Gary, I'm interested to see whether or not the consoles come out this fall. But the fall is so far away. If I want to know what's coming to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Baron Fur is Gonna Fly for Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Syrup is the Ultimate Suite.
Syrup and the Ultimate
Suite. Syrup and the Ultimate Suite, thank you, for PS4 and PS Vita.
Vita!
A new Vita title.
Vita games
it's
is still
rarity.
Coming out.
Kevin, do you mind looking up Syrup and the Ultimate Suite? Because I want to know
pull that one.
What that's going to be. Lost Horizon for Switch. I Am Ball for Switch. Weakless for PC. Battle for Iwo Jima for PC. Bombing Quest for PC. Infinity for Steam. And then this comes from Nibel. Konami has stealth released Castlevania Symphony of the Night for Android and iOS. And so if you want to play some Castlevania, go on them stores.
In a peaceful town of magic users.
Oh, we looked this one up.
Is this a JRPG?
We've seen this one before. It's a visual novel. Actually, Kevin, maybe we shouldn't show this on stream because it gets kind of weird.
Oh, is it going to get porny?
Yeah,
is it one of those?
It gets a little bit kind of, I'm not going to say porny, but no.
It looks totally innocent to me.
What are you talking about?
Okay, I guess this isn't gameplay. This is just the trailer, so maybe they don't go.
You're saying the gameplay gets nasty? Give me a second. I'll find it.
Yeah, but don't show it, though.
I'll show you.
It doesn't get nasty, but it gets questionable. It's like,
I don't like this standard.
It says warning profanity used on that one.
Which one?
Profanity is like language, though, right?
Where are you seeing that?
Is profanity? Is there visual profanity?
Where are you seeing this?
Right, but the next like one down. Syrup in the almost sweet there, warning Kevin, profanity used.
Interesting.
It looks totally harmless to me.
I don't see what's wrong with
it. Trust me.
I mean, I want to trust you, but I'm looking stuff up. I'm not seeing anywhere where anything looks wrong.
Well, as you're looking, now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/patreon. If you've thought about backing Kind of Funny on Patreon so they can get your question asked or get a squad up in, but you've been scared by how complicated the system seems, worry no more because thanks to our sponsor, Kind of Funny Game, or kindoffunny.com/patreon, it's going to be easy. Right? When you go to kindoffunny.com/patreon, you're given four simple choices to decide where you want to go to ask your question. Just click away. It's so easy. Even Greg Miller can do it. Now, Kevin, did you find what you're looking for?
No.
I don't even know what he's looking for.
Just trust me. It gets weird.
But like, just tell me what it is. Not now, because you're in the
middle. I'll tell you later.
But like on the air.
That game looks. Well, actually, looks totally
I'm done with the ad right now. Just so you know.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, well, I mean,
basically, it's not nudity, but it's like almost implied nudity with like.
What does that mean? I
just look up the gameplay and watch it.
I just did.
I saw Kevin scrub through the whole video. It looked fine.
Listen, just trust. Just watch PSLVXOXO. I mean, I don't know if we showed
just,
the war.
Just
I don't.
Say
I don't know if we showed
is.
The weird part. I just said what it is. It's like implied nudity.
What does implied nudity mean?
It's just like certain parts aren't drawn, but it seems like the girl is not wearing clothes. It's weird. It's just weird.
Any clothes?
Like any clothes, Kevin.
Okay, so there's like a shower scene.
No, but like they're talking. Like the girl. So the girl isn't a real human girl. The girl's like a candy girl.
Of course, obviously.
And because she's a candy girl, she doesn't have like the features.
Like you say, no nip snaps.
Yeah, but it's still like it's. DH Canada writes in and says, good morning, kind of funny crew. The PS2 turns 20 years old today.
Woo!
It had one of the greatest video game libraries of all time. Why do you think Sony stopped supporting PS2 on PS4 games? Or do you think developers stopped/never cared to support it? A little over 50 games came out as part of the initiative, with the last one being released over a year ago. I'm just trying to play the bouncer on my PS4, but luckily I still have my original PS3 SKU that was backwards compatible. # remake the bouncer. Are you aware of the PS2 to PS4 games that DH Canada is talking about here?
Yes.
Basically, you can play games like Grand Theft Auto. Like, all the Grand Theft Auto games are part of it. Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2 is part of it. Manhunt. Like, a lot of Rockstar PS2 games are on it. But yeah, you could basically play PS2 games on your PS4 and do that. And it seems like that never really took off.
Right.
Past those. Why do you think that happened?
I don't know. I will say this, though. I think in general, one of the areas in which Xbox has historically had a bit of an edge over PlayStation is that they take backward compatibility more seriously and do a better job of it. Remastering the old games and making them reavailable on Xbox One. I kind of feel like Sony's never done that quite as well. And, you know, and they have more of it. We just talked about at the top of the show. The PlayStation 2 has quite possibly the best game library of any console in history. Certainly the biggest. And yet, Sony, I don't think, historically has done a great job. This initiative is cool, but I would like to see them get more into backward compatibility and make it a bit more available. And I would like, can I, is there any way for me to play NBA Street Volume 2?
No.
No, well, there fucking should be.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think the reason why they haven't done it is they just probably haven't sold.
Can we just dig up an old PlayStation 2 and an old copy of NBA Street Volume 2?
Dude, I would be
and
so
get it
down.
In here and play
but here's
it.
The thing.
I should do that.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be cocky or anything. But like, I don't
think kick my ass?
I don't think you guys would have fun because I'm going to kill you guys in NBA
Let's
Street
play.
Volume 2.
Let's
we
fucking
play.
Bring it. I used to be pretty like, good myself.
I
used to fucking kill at that game.
Like, I'm not one to brag about video games. This is what I was talking about, Kevin.
Do not eat the cute candy girl. Oh, I see.
Yes.
Oh shit. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. See, that's implied.
I mean, look at the bottom. Look at the bottom of the screen.
I get it. It's a Ken doll thing, you know.
And how old do you think that girl is, Kevin?
I don't know.
Not old enough is the answer.
Not a girl.
Yeah, you won't be seeing this.
Candy girl. Sure.
You won't be seeing this one on the Nintendo Switch.
It's odd. Something we should not show on camera.
Yeah, do not put that up on the screen.
I think it's fine.
Can we do this?
Dude, I'd be totally
get a
down.
PS2. What is it going to take to scrounge up a PS2 and a copy of NBA
I'm
Street?
I'm sure this company can do it pretty easily.
You know,
we have an SD4 back there. Do we have a PS2? Do we know how to stream a PS2?
I guess
Cool Ray does it all the time.
Do it all the time.
Do we have NBA Street Volume 2?
We need a copy of NBA Street Volume 2.
That reach out to the best friends. If anyone's got one around.
We're going to get like
putting out the
30
bat signal. Let's do it.
Dude, I'd be totally down to stream NBA Street Volume 2.
I'm so
and show y'all why you don't want the business. Y'all don't want the
in.
Smoke. That's why I'm saying right now is y'all don't want that smoke. But I think PS2 to PS4 games on PS4 probably stopped happening because for the amount of work that they probably took to transfer those games over.
Let's do a tournament.
They probably just didn't sell.
Let's do a tournament.
Would that be fair though to everybody else in this office? You probably get smashed by both of us.
I understand you were good back in the day, but do you really think you're going to pick up a controller and it's just going to come back to you like that?
Yes. 100%.
You're very confident.
Yes, dude. I played a lot of NBA Street
Volume
2.
I like your confidence.
And I've not stopped playing over the years. Like, I've not played as much as I used to play.
When's
back
the last
today.
Time you played it?
Oh. I want to say, like, maybe 2 years ago.
I want to do it.
And I picked it up 2 years ago, and I smashed the homie Numair. Numair, if you're watching
this, you
already know
the business. I'm putting out the call right now to all the best friends. We need a copy of NBA Street Volume 2. I might even still have a copy at home because I don't think I ever gave. I was like, it was so precious to me.
I might also.
I never gave it away.
I might have to check at home because I might also have a copy. I have either that or Burnout 3.
I don't think I do, but we've got to get one.
Now it's time to squad up. Mr. Mitch George writes in a squad up for PS4 and says, for any KFBFs in the greater Toronto area or who play in the Eastern time zone, we've started a clan for the Division 2. If you're looking to squad up and tackle New York, hit us up. We play most evenings from 8 to 12 EST. It's kind of funny TO clan in the Division 2. That's kind of funny TO. TO stands for Toronto, if you didn't peep that.
Oh, not 2 as in like the second clan?
Yeah, no, it's TO is in the abbreviation for Toronto, Canada. Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Oh, that's where Drake is from.
Oh, shit, he's one of the bad guys, right?
Drake?
Yeah.
Oh, he's all right. Huh. I mean, like...
Depends on your point of view, I guess.
Yeah. There's some shadiness there with a few things, but overall...
Don't people think that he had extension?
Only Cool Greg. Only Cool Greg thinks that. Let's see.
I mean, Cool Greg is more plugged into the rap game than any
like
of us.
Cool
I mean, he would know.
And Extension's mom.
Does his? Let me not get into that because that's a deeper bag of worms.
That's all I'm saying, dude. Fucking be careful with Drake.
Let's see.
That's all I'm saying.
Forza 00 says it's called Big Shell. We're talking about the MGS2. Like,
oh my god, it was so good.
Yeah, Big Shell was awesome.
Do you remember the fight with Fat Man? He's on rollerblades.
I do remember the fight with Fat Man.
Sipping wine from a wine glass with a straw in it. Which, by the way, best way to drink wine.
Ricky McQuiet.
Cool Greg tweeted something about me having good taste in music the other day, and I was really flattered. I was like, fuck, if Cool Greg thinks I've got good taste in music.
Wow. Ricky McFly, you're wrong, so you're wrong with an actual question. Remember, you can go to kindoffunny.com/Patreon, yeah, to ask your question.
We're doing you wrong now?
Yeah, I mean, you're wrong.
Were you already in you're wrong, and I just spaced out for a minute?
Yes.
Huh.
Nail Biologist says, guilt is pronounced guilt. Thank you for that.
All right. Hard G, just like GIF.
Yes. Let's see here. CG the second says, nah, console delays were day 2 coronavirus news. What I'm saying is that over the last few weeks, like the first couple days we started talking about coronavirus, yes, the console delays were brought up. Since then, things have kind of progressed in a way where I feel like it's kind of relevant maybe to talk about it again. But you already know our answers. Let's see. And that's it for your own. I'm surprised that's all we had for your wrong. Apparently, we were on point today, Gary. Look at us.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
We don't get shit wrong.
Who would have thought? Tomorrow's hosts, it's me and Tim. Strap in for that. We'll probably talk about Sonic a whole bunch. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time. Game Daily.